Duncan, we made it.
We it's spring.
We
made it.
Shall we let listeners know that we got like 3 more episodes and then something's happening?
No.
Oh my gosh, you're heartless.
I don't think we tell them it. We don't tell the listeners shit, mate.
This guy is so secretive with stuff. All right, well,
everything comes to an end.
Oh my gosh.
And
are you dying?
After what episode will be our final episode? Is it going to be like episode 130 or something?
I will have a look whilst you talk.
It's astonishing, really. We've been in this game now for almost 5 years.
Hey, when did we start? During the lockdown?
Yeah, it was July 2019, I think, was our first venture into this wonderful world of podcasting.
The last episode would be 131. 131.
131. Can't believe it.
But
I can't believe it's coming to an end.
But it's coming to an end for a new beginning.
Yeah. We're starting a new chapter.
It's like when you get a divorce and then you meet a lovely new partner and you merge your families together and start a new family.
Although what we'll actually be doing is getting a divorce and finding some young gold digger who ends up getting with us purely for the money and hangs on in there until we die a death. And actually, we signed a prenup before we got married, but she's too dumb to realise.
I mean, it sounds like me and you are getting divorced, Duncan. We're not. We're still going to be together.
No, it's going to be great. This is the thing. This is the thing about a young blonde thing is they can go all night long and they don't have to worry about time.
Do you know what I say, though? This is what we're doing, guys. We're buying a pub. We're buying a virtual pub.
We're buying a virtual pub.
We're
opening a virtual pub.
Me and Dunk are so committed that we're laying down some hardcore virtual money on a deposit and doing the thing that during the lockdown all those pubs were closing. But now me and Dunk are virtually opening a pub. We've managed to save up. It's happening.
We're bucking the trend. Like, so many pubs are closing in a week. And we're bucking the trend. We're opening a pub. I'm actually going to become a fully fledged alcoholic as well. Just as, you know, I figured we'll add this additional detail in there, Rich.
Yeah, man.
It does mean that we might be somewhat limited in the amount of podcasts that we can record in one session because I am going to be on the floor, but it's going
to
be great.
I quite look forward to you being drunk and all the time. I think, you know, the virtual pub is going to be a welcoming space for everyone. But me and Dunk are the landlords. We've got to lay down some rules. We're going to need, like, events. So, you know, we'll have to set up some events. We're going to need people to come help us with events. We've already got the village idiot trying to get in the pub already, Joe Harding. We're trying to keep him out, but that village idiot's going to end up being there. You know, there's always the village drunk. That is Joe as well. Like, you're going to have to deal with that guy trying to come in. We tried to bar him already, but it's not working.
Man will not be barred.
Right, Dunk.
He's like a korma curry. He's yeah. He offers a lot.
Dunk,
it was to deliver.
20 minutes. Right, we're gonna talk about a topic I'm fascinated by, but I think I need someone like Duncan to kind of help me delve into the insanity that is this thing. So, Dunk.
You went super formal there, and I'm not sure I like it.
Oh, okay. Well,
you said Duncan, mate.
Oh, I'm sorry, my friend.
I feel like I'm in trouble.
Dunk, how do cults work?
Yeah. As in, like, religious cults?
Any cult, mate. Fucking any cult. It doesn't have to be religious. Any fucking cult. I do not understand how cults work. Like, how someone who's just charismatic then convinces a bunch of insecure or vulnerable people to follow their beliefs and something that they've created.
Fundamentally, mate, I think the premise of a cult is you've got some person who heads a cult who is clearly purely in it for status, be it money, bitches, a big house, all sorts of other things, but they're not actually prepared to do other things. It's almost like a get out of jail. It's a pyramid scheme for them, essentially. That's all pyramid schemes are. Pyramid schemes are cults.
Okay.
And it's all sold on the notion of a better tomorrow. So your primary target for a cult would be someone who's looking for meaning, but might not necessarily have the knowledge to find that meaning themselves, and they look to someone who's offering it in a very easy and condensed form.
Okay.
So if you were to ask me, what's the meaning of life? And I were to tell you, the meaning of life is that you should try and find happiness in the presence of others, and in doing so, you'll find a sense of enlightenment and you'll find your greater purpose. But the only way that you can do that is if you move into this village with me and my friends. And we'll all... if you pay me all of your money, I will make sure that everybody is okay, and we'll all be in this together. You're setting people on the idea of communism, but still having someone at the top with lots of money. It's sort of similar to Russia.
Okay.
That's a cult.
I'm just looking up some information, like what's the largest cult currently and what's the most famous cults. And the largest cult, apparently, is the cult of Santeria under Adolfo Constanzo. I have no idea what the fuck that is, bro.
I'm guessing it's in an American desert, is it?
Probably, and the most famous cults are that I, and one of them I know, one of them's the name I know. The number one that comes up on Google straight away is People's Temple, which I haven't heard of. Jim Jones, the charismatic leader of People's Temple, who would go down in history as leading the mass suicide of more than 900 Americans. Wow.
I'm actually the grandson of
Jim Jones.
No, my great,
fucking
no,
hell,
my
dog.
Great, my great grandfather was in a cult.
Okay, what? Tell me more.
He was huge. He was in a cult. He was. My dad was raised in a cult-like atmosphere, and my late aunt actually didn't get out of the cult until after I was born.
Oh shit, gold! Doug, this is gold! Come on, Doug!
I've got cousins that I met within the past 10 years who only just got out of this cult.
Alright, fucking.
And it's headed up.
Come on.
Headed
Doug.
Up in Buckinghamshire.
Right,
by
so.
By a bloke called David Metcalf.
And this cult is what? Is it still going on?
Yeah, I think it's still going on. Somehow I don't think Metcalf's still alive. I think he might be dead. I think the cult's still just about. I think his sons are just about keeping up with it. All of these people had relatively normal lives, but my dad ended up getting out of it when he was 16.
Okay, so how did your dad end up in it?
It was just his parents, my grandparents, I guess.
Yep.
Who I never met.
Okay.
I'll state this, I don't have any emotional connection to them at all. I never met them. But they were in a cult. And... yeah, my dad was just sort of raised as a child of people who were cultists.
Okay.
And they had a kind of stereotypically Victorian-sized family. So I've got a lot of uncles and aunts that I've never met, which ultimately led to me having lots of cousins, which I hadn't met. And, 16, my dad had a falling out with his dad, to the point where they actually started like coming to blows, and he got kicked out, and he was excommunicated from his family.
What was the cult about?
And gradually over the years that followed, people started to get out of the cult.
What was the cult about, Dunk?
It was mostly like a Christian-based cult in the UK, where someone, I don't think he went so far as to claim that he was another Messiah, but he essentially was a priest, and he would just, take lots of people's money and sleep with lots of people's wives.
Mad!
It's like an extreme church, if you will.
Yeah. It's like, fucking hell, imagine going to church and the priest is like, come worship us. Worship me. Give me your lady's pussy. And
see, I don't think it was ever a case of him being worshipped himself. Just that he was offering people the answers to, like, what happens after you die. You know, basic answers that you have as in any religion, that you always put it down to quote-unquote faith. Now, the answer, faith will provide answers and all of that other sort of stuff. It's very, very misleading, and ultimately it means that a cult leader could potentially claim that they've got the answers to those questions. And they, if those answers make a little bit of sense or enough sense to enough people, you could start a cult. And within that cult, the communion, you know, you do a church.
Yeah.
Quite often there's like a collection plate that comes around.
Yeah.
Now, if you're the cult leader or you're the priest, you're either skimming off the top of it, or you're taking donations from people, or you're just taking the entire collection for your own means. You're living in the biggest house. You're helping people, your community, your flock, if you will, do sort of little oddities through the day. But then this was back in the 50s, so stereotypically women were at home, the men were out at work, and while the women were at home, it would give the cult leader ample opportunity to have access to these women.
Mm.
And it was when my dad at 16 had seen him. No, younger than 16, I think. I think that was the start of it. That was like the powder keg moment, was that he'd seen the cult leader having an affair with one other family within the group. And he called out to his parents and, suffered some traumatic abuse at the hand of his dad.
It's madness. Madness.
It's utterly insane. But what happens when you come out of a cult is you then, you're kind of floating and a little bit lost.
So, I mean, Scientology is a cult, right?
Yeah, Scientology is a cult.
And what they do is, like, they isolate you from society so that when you come out of society, you have no one.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Scientology, Ron Hubbard is the leader of it, or certainly was the leader of it. He's almost like a prophet, if you will. Mm. And everyone believes that he will grant them enlightenment. But it's the benefits of being within the cult. So you've got such a big cult that they can financially bankroll actors, movies, and so like Tom Cruise's.
Yeah,
probably during the early days got roles or was able to help fund films through being part of Scientology.
I was going to say, like, does Tom Cruise actually believe in Scientology, or does he just use it as a way to, like you said, like star in movies and fund movies?
I don't know. He's almost like a poster child, isn't he?
He is.
So
yeah.
His success is beneficial to Scientology, whether or not he believes in it or not. Because if you can sell the idea that if you are in Scientology, you will have the success of Tom Cruise, or you will be like Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Then everyone's going to want a slice of it, right?
True.
Again, pyramid scheme. The person at the top of the pyramid looks like they've got a fantastic life, great cars. They roll up in their rented Lamborghini Murcielago, and they sell you the idea that it's their car, it's their life, and the way that they got it was by selling these magic beans, for example. So they sell you that idea that if you sell magic beans, you can drive a Merchalago as well.
So,
and if you tell your friends to sell the magic beans, then you can take their profits, and then you can buy more magic beans and sell more magic beans and give your profits to me. And before you know it, you end up with lots of people doing not a lot of work, all in the belief that they are closer to the top of a tree than they actually are.
By this means, are Mormons considered a cult?
I think yes, they are. Mormons are essentially I mean, if they have a cult leader, and I guess this is similar to the cult that my dad was raised in that they're still Christians. So from the outside, you don't really know that they're, you know, if they're up to no good, maybe.
Sure.
But then are they? Are they up to no good? I mean, Warren Jeffs is the cult leader of the Mormons.
Okay.
He's only 68. And funnily enough, mate, he was convicted of several sex crimes and two assisted sex crimes involving kids. So that tells you the type of person or mindset that you have to be a cult leader.
Uh-huh.
And no doubt the... all of the followers within the Mormon church would defend him to the hilt.
Yeah.
But I think, a lot of cult leaders practice having polygamous. That's the one. Polygamy is like a big part of, again, the mental attitude of those who are cult leaders, I think, because it's all part of a status thing, because if you've got lots of wives and you believe that you're above everybody else, but nobody else in the church is allowed to believe that they're allowed to have more than one partner.
Okay.
So it's sort of an us and them type of situation.
Yeah. It's had me leading down somewhere. I've lost it now. I had a thought. It's lost. When it comes back, I'll let you know.
Perfect. But ultimately, mate, cults are quite scary.
Oh, man. I mean, yeah, like, it's apparently they can lead to fucking suicide, as this famous one did, killing 900 people.
Wait, there was a mass suicide because of a cultist?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's a famous story.
Tell me more. Where was this, Rich?
I mean, we're not going to have time in this episode to fucking cover it, Dunk. It will have to be a separate fucking thing.
Because I derailed it with my own personal experience.
No, I mean, that was interesting, Dunk, but we'll come back to that cult a fucking another time. We'll delve into that story. But yeah, fucking madness. I've seen it in movies and shit. I think I just don't understand why anyone chooses to join a cult. And
it's the great answer to the question, isn't it? It's what's the meaning of life? And if you can tell someone a convincing enough meaning, then you can get a cult. I personally would like a cult in Florida.
Why? Just so you can live in Florida? What do you mean?
No. I reckon I could... the cult of the alligator man. And I'm going to wander around with an alligator head and like Crocodile Dundee, but on steroids.
I think you could do this.
I reckon I could be there.
You've definitely got the wisdom. I think we'd have to develop your social skills because you'd have to talk to a lot of people, Dunk.
I can talk to lots of people, but it's an act and it's very draining and it's very tiring.
Like a true psychopath.
Yeah, it would be a full performance, and then
I mean I'd that's perfect for a cult leader. I'd just
die.
Yeah. I don't know.
Fuck. You don't want a cult?
Nah, Danny Wallace, the very funny comedian and writer, he actually set up a cult once, didn't he, to prove that you can...
How easy it was.
Yeah, how easy it is to make a cult. And he kind of done it as a joke, but it did actually become a cult, which was funny. 20 minutes!